with Shirley Senn from CU Strategic Planning. How are you, Shirley?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm loving Ireland. It's just been a phenomenal experience. Definitely one I'll be coming back.
Yeah, and you took a tour yesterday? And
I did. We had unpredictable weather, as I would say, here in Belfast. It was 82 degrees Fahrenheit yesterday, and we did a tour of the Giant Causeway, which is a cliff tour. So it was a little warm. In retrospect, but wonderful, and it was a great way to bond with other credit union people while we were here.
And speaking of bonding with other credit union people, what's the buzz? What are you hearing in the hallways here that people are talking about?
I think a lot of it is looking at innovation. You know, we hear a lot about the electronic payments, a lot of ways to get to the remote membership of a lot of these credit unions, especially some of the people I've talked to have been from Mexico, Ghana, Kenya. And one of the things that I've been really inspired about is how desperation is promoting innovation. And so it's really inspired me to take a lot of this information back and see how we can kind of pull it apart and see what aspects of that we can then in turn use to help a lot of the credit unions that are in the United States that might be in similar situations and don't know it.
Yeah, exactly.
So really exciting.
I like that. Desperation breeds innovation.
Yes.
I think that, isn't that usually the case? When
I think it is, but I think sometimes in the United States we have so many resources at our disposal that I think we get a little complacent with innovation.
Yep.
And so, you know, we think we know what our members want, and we tend to put it out there and then find out later they're not using it. And so there's a lot of money spent on things that might not need to be used. And so in this situation, when funds are so limited for a lot of these credit unions, they're really taking the process of collaboration within their own networks and really reaching out to a lot of us that are here to say, what are you doing? What do you seek? And the irony of all that is we're sitting and listening to them in turn and saying, what can we learn from you? And I mean, I've got notepads and sticky notes of meeting people everywhere and business cards to follow up. And the nice thing about this is there's been about a half a dozen people I've met, and we're already starting to kind of plan our world tour, if you will, of trying to see where we can go and make a difference. And part of that is we all kind of set out a five-year plan when we did the Global Women's Leadership Network workshop on Sunday. A big part of that was leadership and really doing introspect to ourselves and developing our own business plan, if you will, for ourselves and setting those goals. So a lot of us were really identifying where we could go outside of our comfort zones to really make a difference, but also learn in return.
And speaking of making a difference, let's talk CDFI,
sure.
Community Development Financial Institutions, CU Strategic Planning, my goodness,
mouthful.
Exactly, is all about that.
And
writing grants and providing these funds to credit unions who use these funds in amazing ways. Can you talk about this for a little bit?
Sure. The CDFI designation is not a new concept, but it really kind of is for credit unions. CU Strategic Planning was started in 2008 with that specific goal in mind to tap into the CDFI, because at that time it was mostly banks and loan funds and venture capital funds that were involved. And so the founder of the company, Jamie Chase, really saw some sunlight, if you will, there for credit unions to really take what we're good at and utilize this designation. And so it, you know, really over the last 10 years, it has blossomed to the point we have, I'm just guesstimating, but I think we have roughly around 300 credit unions now and more every day that are getting the designation. It's become an industry embraced concept now in the terms that now that we have several nonprofit organizations along with CUNA working to help get more and more credit unions certified, you know, along with firms like ourselves, because there really is that next step in terms of, again, getting out of the level of comfort that so many credit unions are involved in. They're doing wonderful, wonderful things in their community, but I think we're really underestimating ourselves in terms of our impacts and what we can do to reach outside our own comfort zones. So the Community Development Financial Institution designation really helps credit unions seek that next level with additional funding from the Treasury Department. But the Treasury is not the only source of funds for CDFIs. There's a lot of banks, there's a lot of foundations and endowments now that are also jumping on board to kind of make that a holistic approach. So, you know, with our firm, we really hone in and focus specifically on this, on the community development credit unions, and have learned that, you know, it's not just embracing community involvement. This is a whole new industry or concept that credit unions have to take their mindsets out of just being a credit union and now being more involved with the community and looking at the changes that they have to make within their products and their policies and their governance. Mm-hmm. And so it's definitely a new ball game. So, you know, with what we feel like we have is the expertise and a great team in place, we feel like we can help credit unions take that next step forward and just blossom. And I'll give you some examples here in a minute of some credit unions and some impacts that we've really seen.
Yeah, because you guys have been really successful, and you guys are almost like the conduit or the tool for credit unions to gain access to these funds. Because, I mean, you guys are experts in this area, obviously, in writing the grants, and because it's a long process. It's a long, drawn-out process, and credit unions don't have the resources to do this type of stuff. So you're there to help out, and it's not just small credit unions who go after it. It's big credit unions as well that go for this type of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the CDFI is not limited in asset size. What the Treasury is really focusing in on is they're looking for credit unions that, you know, understand what the needs are of not just the low income. And a lot of times we look at low income members as being those somewhat of modest means, our blue collar workers, but really stepping more deep and entrenched into what we would call the extremely low and very low, those that are only making 50 or 30% of the adjusted median income level. So, I mean, we're talking extremely poor people. Yeah. That how do you get them out of poverty? Right. The only way is to give them opportunities, give them access to credit, give them access to savings. But a lot of credit unions are very leery a lot of times because of the risk involved with that. And so, you know, having this expertise that we've developed, and it's a team process. I mean, it works so much better with the process improvement as a team rather than does individuals, because we have learned to develop every year as we've written the business plans. And, you know, we have a good foundation on that, and that since 2008 we have won grants for credit unions every year within that. So, I mean, we're doing something right. And, you know, when we have this team that we have on board, it just every year it helps us in helping the credit unions. I mean, we recently brought on Mike Beal, who used to be the president of the National Cooperative Business Association, and bring all of his years of expertise in partnership building. And we have Chuck Cogburn, who was the developer of the online 5300 report for NCUA. So he's our expert in statistics and financials. And then we have Stacy Augustine, who bravely has stepped in as our CEO over the last 3 or 4 years. And, you know, her background's compliance and policies, and mine happens to be products. And Jamie, you know, happens to be the glue that helps with everything. So when you've got those different areas of expertise, you can bring to the table what's needed and not have to worry about one person trying to be the overseer of everything. So that has really helped us. And then, you know, we're not averse to really stepping out and seeing what else is going on in the industry. And we're talking about the community development industry, which is a whole different industry than the credit union industry. They meld together, but the community development is much more complex. So, you know, with that, we're able to reach out and get feedback from other colleagues that are outside the credit union industry to find out what's going on, so that we can make sure that what we're putting together for the credit unions and what we're providing them advice for and helping them and develop all of these out of the norm and out of the comfort zone situations to develop their community development business plan is not only something that the CDFI and the Treasury Department is looking at to win a grant, but also is something that's very practical and can be implemented with the credit unions for them to be successful and obviously to benefit the members and the community they're serving.
So give me a couple of examples. If you could do that real briefly, that would be cool. I mean, that would give credit unions an idea of what they'd get into.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that the CDFI is most focused on is impacts, because obviously the Treasury Department wants to make sure that the funds that they're giving for grants, which can be for allowance for loan loss accounts or can be for capital reserves, or there's other situations where you can use it for financial literacy or hiring individuals, but they want to make sure that the money is being used wisely. And so one of the things that we've been trying to work with our credit unions, because as I mentioned, most credit unions don't tell their story. And they don't really realize how significant they're impacting somebody's lives. So we're working with one credit union who we had won a grant for the year before last, and so they just got their money, and they're implementing their program. In the first year, and this is a little under $100 million credit union, the money that they took from their program, from their grant, they implemented, and just in the last couple of months, they've done $6 million worth of loans. And we had them go back and look at the impacts of how much money has been saved over the term of those loans. $3.8 million of interest will be saved by these individuals. And these are individuals that are retired military or enlisted military that have been entrapped by local payday lenders. And, you know, literally they were refinancing loans at 29 from 29% down to
29%? Are you kidding?
Which is typical for a buy here, pay here. So you know, they went through and were flabbergasted themselves as to the impact. Working with another credit union, again, recently won a grant, and they were anticipating that they might save their members $1 million with the program they were implementing, over $3 million. And same size credit union. So, I mean, you know, when we talk about on a daily basis, when we're talking somebody that's as a household that's making, you know, less than $50,000 and making even half of that, $25,000, if you're at 50% of the adjusted median income, you know, a savings of $3,000 a year over 12, you know, looking at it on a 12-month basis, $300 a month, that could be a car payment. That could be your utilities. That could be your food. So when we start breaking it down and really looking at the impacts on a day-to-day basis or a month-to-month basis, you know, something that's keeping a family or even a single person out of poverty or out of homelessness makes all the difference. And that's where their credit unions are really starting to see, and it puts more fire back into wanting them to continue to do these programs. We're not going to say it's not hard work, because I mean, it's a totally different mindset. You have to get the board on board. Yeah, I was trying to think of a different word. Your entire staff from the top down has to have the same mentality, that each and every one of you has to understand how you address your members, how you identify those that are in distress. So it's a little bit of different of a mindset, but once you embrace that and once you have trained your staff and your board to understand that concept, it's just a very worthwhile feeling, which most of us as credit union members and staff have already. But to know that we're keeping someone, we're keeping a family together, or we're keeping someone, you know, with a roof over their head instead of sleeping on the streets, or we're giving someone the opportunity to be able to maintain a job. You know, these are all things that at the end of the day, when we start measuring those impacts, I think credit unions are just going to be overwhelmed at the amount of good they're doing in their communities. And as a collective voice, it's now telling the government, it's now telling our local economic development commissions, it's now telling our local and regional government that, hey, we do make a difference. Yeah. So, you know, when we start thinking about all these high level, you know, the taxation issue and member business lending and all the issues that the bank associations have with the credit union industry because of our tax, nonprofit tax status, at the end of the day, this is the story we need to be telling, that, yeah, we have the ability to help these people. Are you helping them? Exactly. They could or couldn't, but we can now show that we're tangible.
Yeah, it's as you're talking, I'm thinking that it's such a basic issue, but it's so inspirational at the same time. And credit unions are right there. They can be right there on the forefront of all this.
And a lot of them are. A lot of them didn't realize they could be. And again, this is not, I think as an industry, we tend to think that it's the larger credit unions, the $1 billion or the $500 million credit unions that are really making a significant difference because they have the collective resources and they have the operational efficiencies to do that. But as a credit union, if we'll just refocus and realign our mission and our vision statements with what our true passion is, you know, we all provide good member service, and I hate to say, if we look at a lot of our mission statements or our strategic statements, is we want to, you know, be the best at serving our members. And we really need to kind of step back and say what drives our passion, and that's what your vision statement should be. And so as we go through this process, a lot of times we tend to work with credit unions, and if we find those that are not necessarily ready yet to be a CDFI? Well, we step back a little bit and say, let's start with the strategic planning process and start to see where is your credit union right now, and where do we need to take you, so that you're now visioning yourself as a community development credit union, not just as a credit union. Because as I said, credit unions have one level, community development has another, and to meld the two together, it's not just having the designation, it's learning how to implement it and knowing what community development is. And again, it's great that credit unions give to their communities in the form of donations and their time, but being a community development credit union goes one step further, and it's really a lot of reciprocity with the organizations in the community. So, you know, in what we're trying to do here is with organizations like the United Way or Catholic Charities or Habitat for Humanity, mm-hmm. is that, you know, they need an outlet and we need an outlet as a credit union. You know, they're needing an outlet for those that are coming in and using their programs that might need those small dollar loans or housing loans that they're not able to get elsewhere. And so they're able to refer them to the credit union. Mm-hmm. But in turn, when the credit union sees people coming through their doors and they see that they have necessities for utilities or counseling or things of that nature, mm-hmm. that's outside the realms of their expertise, they can then refer them back to a United Way or Habitat. So that's where this reciprocity comes in, because we're looking to develop a pipeline of loans. And again, it's not just benefiting those two entities, but it's also helping in revitalization
communities.
Yeah. And it just spearheads after that. And so that's where we're really seeing exciting things happening and whole communities being redeveloped simply because a community development financial institution credit union said, hey, we want to make a difference. Yeah.
Shirley, I can tell you're not passionate about this at all.
I'm not. I try to contain, you know, it's just kind of one of those things I do on a day-to-day basis. But I've been with credit unions in the industry, got into it by accident. It just happened that I was on the broker side, and I was just tired of it, because I was tired of hearing, you know, things being done inappropriately to people rather than helping them. And somebody said, well, I have this thing, it's called a credit union, they have an opening. I'm like, okay, whatever. And that changed my life 25 years ago, and then really taking another focus again to seeing how much our society was suffering still, even with the help of credit unions. And it just put a whole new spin on what I do, and as we kind of call ourselves as the land of misfit toys sometimes with the team that we're putting together, is that we're really a unique group. But the thing that collectively holds us together is, at the end of the day, we want to empower credit unions. We want to help them empower their members and the communities that they're in to realize that, yes, you can make a difference, but we need to make sure that each individual person at the end of the day has pride in themselves, has self-esteem, and feels like they're worth something. And I know that sounds very trivial, but when somebody has that reestablished in them and that they feel like somebody has hope, then they can be a contributing member to society again. And it's a pay it forward type of process that just continues to grow.
Yep. Wrap up question here for you. Having said all of that, what do you want? What are your goals for this show? What do you want to take back to help credit unions from this, what you've learned here?
Actually, I've already started to do that. The biggest thing is that, you know, seeing the differences that we have around the world. But at the end of the day, it's all the same. We're all helping our members. We're all helping local communities and people that are in dire need. And so the thing that I've really taken back is I've really tried to sit back and, instead of speaking, listening and taking notes, and like I said, really paying attention to what they're doing in their unique communities and seeing these ideas that are working. And then, like I said, taking those back and let's look at them and see how we can adapt them to work within our mindsets and our frames that we have within our credit unions to make it just as successful at Credit Unions of the United States as it has in developing countries.
A great message to end on. Shirley, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Great, great chat about this. I mean, sure, it's an education for a lot of people and such a good thing. And like you said, everybody, it's so cliche, but everybody wins in this whole thing. You know, it's such a... a good thing.
They do. We're looking forward to working with more and more credit unions as you know, NCUA and the whole industry continues to embrace this. And I think we're going to be very, very successful at it and just, you know, really show the CDFI what a positive impact credit unions have at the end of the day.
Indeed. Awesome. Keep up the good work. All right. Well done.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Shirley.